Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. Our Chuck and Julie show, Two Straight Up. We're going to have a great show today. We're going to have a little room for people to call. We've been had so many guests last week. This week, we figured, hey, we're going to have a little more time for all the great callers.
And us to rant, too, because I have a rant. Yeah. I don't always have a rant, but I do want to go on it. So let me, for a couple of things right off the bat. Number one, the number to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. You can always call to Zoom. Go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll send you to BBS, which will send you to Zoom if you want to go in on that way. And the show today brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, a great blog site, website. Keep a lot of stuff compiled there, just speaking for conservatives in Colorado.
Great article on the opening up of restaurants and everything else you want to read.
Yeah, so I think the theme of today's show, besides Julie's going to do a rant, is also like, what the heck is going on with that, right? And want to start off first, it looks like, once again,
also our other sponsor is Cinegenics, and we'll talk about them at the bottom of the hour.
That's right. So another great rally, another Reopen Colorado rally.
Sunday.
This one, great. Even more, it was a motorcycle rally, people at the Capitol. You know, we were not able to make it. We talked to Peter Boyles this morning, though he went, he said it was great. And he said there were even way more people than you could count, because he said a lot of people were driving
came for
around
a while and then, yeah.
Right, and then left. One thing I've noticed about that, and this is what I want to get into, is you notice that the rallies, every time they have them in Colorado and around the country, they get bigger, right? Every time you go, they're getting bigger. And this is part of my, what's going on with that? So last week, we talked about on Friday, Jared Polis had kind of he was pressured into this, I think, the announcement that, okay, Colorado actually has had way fewer people die of coronavirus than we thought.
I don't know. He didn't have to. It's just getting embarrassing. But
right.
There are lots of people in other states that have not acknowledged the fact that the coronavirus ones are just
the death CD, number.
The CDC, anybody who dies who has a coronavirus or even a test or anything else, they just wanted to add more and more and more and more because it adds to their power.
But we've got in Colorado, what we've had, though, are coroners and nursing homes pushing back and saying, you know, we had a state representative, Mark Basley, saying,
want to bring criminal charges
against the health department in Colorado for falsifying death certificates. So Jared Polis announced, okay, actually, you know, like I keep saying with the Monty Python thing, that they're not that dead yet from that.
But the Worldometer, the one that everybody goes to, that hasn't changed at all, even though they've acknowledged that 300 too many.
And what does the sleazy Denver Post do? They change their headline. Rather than the headline being, hey, guess what, guys, good news, not nearly as many, by about a quarter it was slashed, not nearly as many people died of coronavirus. It's not nearly as deadly or dangerous as we initially thought it would be. No, what do they say? They change their sleazy headline to be, this many people have coronavirus in their system in Colorado. It's like, oh, give me a died with this in their system. It's like you couldn't twist their arms to say, hey, this is good news. But you wanted to get into then too, what happened is then, Chuck, so now you throw that in and you throw a couple of developments today. Jared Polis on CNN, or on Fox rather, yesterday, which was kind of interesting, where he acknowledged that and he suggested that other states need to do the same thing, need to take a look at their numbers. Then today he holds a news conference where he talks about, okay, testing, a lot more testing out there, but also he's moving up, I think, the date to reopen restaurants. Jared Polis and the city of Denver have now said they're looking and putting together guidelines, which will be released tomorrow.
We had a friend come back in from Arizona, said, you know, Phoenix, everything else, all the restaurants are open, just amazing.
Right, the restaurants and bars, people aren't wearing masks, they're there, no one's dead, they're all having a good time. So, and initially Polis had said, well, we'll start thinking about that on May 26th. I think now he's setting the stage, I believe this, for restaurants to reopen on Memorial Day. And one of the things they're doing that is really good, I think, is, and the city of Glendale, I think, has been in the lead on this, Glendale, Colorado, is they're saying, okay, you can use, Polis has said, we're going to waive liquor license rules. We're going to, you know, let people go ahead and you can have set up tables in the parking lot. You can set up, you know, you can serve drinks on the sidewalk, that kind of thing. So they seem to be going out of their way to let restaurants open up, which I think is very good.
I would say they're going out of their way.
Well, no, okay, you're right. Let me clarify. They're going out of their way, keeping in mind that they are dictators and have gone out of the way to destroy the economy.
And the
restaurant industry. They seem to be going ahead now and acknowledging
and
that.
And allowing it to, you know, some breathing room, although they have no idea whether that's economically feasible for restaurants or not, and they don't really care.
Well, and it's all paving the way for them to say, okay, restaurants, that's fine. You can have people inside too.
No, so, but no, they're never going to let people go from now on. They're always going to have rules and more regulations. Oh no, you know, two people died yesterday. They're not getting rid of their power.
See, I'm a little bit optimistic there, because that goes to my, what is going on here with Polis going on CNN with Polis, rather than fighting and, you know, and saying, well, you know, one death is too many and people in Castle Rock are killing people, even though now everybody can reopen in a matter of days. I think what's happened is, and we were talking about this earlier, is they've realized they were wrong. And they've realized that overwhelmingly Americans don't like what they've tried to do to them. Now, I think you're right. We'll get into this in a second. They're trying to hold on to the power that they can, and they've got other agendas. But I think that the rallies to reopen have gotten bigger. And what I love about this is, I was tweeting this earlier, a column that said, when the people lead, the government is forced to follow. What I love about this is that people like Colorado Freedom Force, the Reopen Colorado people, people all over the country, you know, we've seen people who are not even particularly political just saying, screw it, I'm not wearing a mask. That's stupid. And if your store says I have to wear a mask, then I'll just go to this store that says I don't. We've seen restaurant owners say, you are crushing me because, as Peter Boyles put it, I'm trying to serve an omelet on Mother's Day. You can't do that. And I think that the people have pushed back, and it's not, I think it's largely conservatives. And I think it's bizarre, don't you think, that Chuck, there was a time when the rabble rousers and the rebels and the civil liberties people, if you would say, well, which party did that identify with more, people would say Democrat, right? But now the Democrats are the nanny state. The Democrats are the party of snitches. The Democrats are the party of just fear mongering. And the Republicans are like civil rights, you know, freedom, you know, let's protest, let's get out there and rally.
Yeah, you don't quite get the dynamic. The dynamic is that at one time, the far left, maybe thanks to McCarthyism or who knows what, thankful they were not in charge of anything. They're not in charge of the universities, not in charge of any of the levers of government. And therefore, they were all at 1,000 flowers bloom. Yeah. The minute they got control. They love government. They love to kick you around, and they have from Cuba to North Korea to Venezuela to Cambodia. The left has only adopted the strategies they needed for what worked at the time. And now that they're in charge of everything,
we're just going to clamp down. We'll get into some of Polis's bizarre executive orders. But if you want to chime in, 888-627-6008 is the number to call. 888-627-6008. Here's my other theory. I think this is my theory/rant. I think that there are three categories that the people who are fighting the reopening fall into. Number one, there are what I've heard described as the sheeple. These are just the followers, right? The people who say, no, we can't reopen if it saves one life, those kind of people. These are the people, I submit to you, who would eat Tide Pods in middle school if the cool kids told them to, right? These are people who don't really think about it.
They do think, you know, there's...
Well, they just want to be in with the cool
people. Well, an incredible
number
of people are employed directly or indirectly by the government, and they've been very little
attractive. That gets to my third group. Okay, so that's the first group, just the sheeple, right? The second group of people who were complaining and saying, you know, the snitches and stuff like that, because you got to think, what would prompt somebody to snitch on their neighbor who was simply trying to make a living? And, well, yeah, you have a dimmer view of humanity than I do. But in my view, you're like, what on earth would prompt somebody to do that? Why would you want to destroy your neighbor's life and livelihood and snitch on them and then gleefully hide behind your curtains while you watch the cops show up? And we had talked to a friend of the weekend who some lady called, the kids were playing their scooters in the cul-de-sac. A lady called the cops and a bunch of freaking 8-year-olds, okay? Who does that? And I'm saying, and maybe this is more of a women's thing than a man's thing, but there are a bunch of nanny state people, I'm not going to say they're largely women, I bet, who just love to virtue signal. Right. They love any excuse to throw their moral superiority in your face. Right. And this is like a heyday for them, right? They can criticize you. They can say, you've got blood on your hands, all that nonsense. And you know what? No one actually likes those people, right? No one likes those people. They're really bossy. I always feel sorry for guys who are married to people like that too. So that's a secret thing. The other bigger group, I think, that uses those other two groups, these are people who want to keep things locked down, are people who, for their own ideologic or agenda reasons want to see the country destroyed. And so that's my theory. And I think what's so good is that makes up a much smaller population than the rest of us. And when the rest of us say, no, we got to reopen, they push back. Should we go to the phones?
Why not?
Okay, I'll rant more in a second. But, well, the king of rants we got right now with this Barney. Hey, Barney, happy Monday.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. Julie, you weren't listening to Chuck a second ago because he just says, oh, yeah, or whatever, when you were talking about, he kind of slipped one in on you there. But I'm going to have to beat up on Julie, too, for a second because, Julie, well, wait a minute. I kind of got kicked off last week. What bothered me about April and Jesse is I heard a man, and Jesse, this is not a knock on you by any means. I heard a man that was afraid of death, of losing everything. That's what I heard through his voice, and that's why I was so angry. And, Chuck, you tell me when it's time for me to pull out the stick or the black rifle, and I'll join. Because I'll tell you, I'm so effing ready to be that second guy in line to start really whacking these people. I'm ready. I promise you, I've got something to prove. I'm 58. I get people that aren't afraid of me anymore. I got something to prove. But he said, you let me know. But, Julie.
Yes.
You said something about the civil rights. Julie, that was, and I hate to stick up for my spineless, ballless Republicans, but it was Republicans that passed the 68 Act, the Civil Rights Act. So
okay, good point. Okay.
The civil Democrats have really not been about rights ever. They want to take. And you know, we have Cory Gardner that would be more than happy to go along with it. But now why? This stupid mask thing. You know right. What? Your masks are nasty. They don't work. And now they said New York, I guess people were, it's over with. People are not going to sit around. And Julie, it's not just women. You wait till you get a hold of that little rat, that little cockroach of a man that will come after you for not wearing a mask. Trust me. The men are even worse, little sucky. But bottom line is, the little power, it ain't going to work. And, I think Chuck had said it a while back about it getting hot. Look, when it's hot, you're really going to wear that stupid thing on your face?
No.
I don't think so.
It's 80 degrees out today. I just want to see. I was out. Not too many people were.
I'm sorry. Let me give you an anecdotal, little anecdotal here. There was a guy that I work with. I won't get his last name. His name was Ken. His parents were told when he was in Vietnam that he was killed in action. He was in Germany for a month.
We got him.
Just ripped open. Hang on. His chest was ripped open after a massive heart attack. I don't know, when he was 50 or something. The guy's 68. He got COVID, and I passed him on the highway about 3 hours ago, and he's alive and kicking and just fine. So my buddy Ken from Alta can live through COVID. I'm pretty sure it's not, because that thing should have taken him out. I mean, what he's been through in his life.
Well, at least you knew somebody who has COVID. I mean, you know, the number of people I know that've had COVID is so, you know, for a pandemic, there seems to be incredibly few unless you got parents in a nursing home and stuff. It's amazing how few people. And a couple of people said, oh, I had the COVID, and they got tested. They go, no, you just had the regular flu. Oh.
Yeah.
What a letdown. And this is the thing. I was thinking maybe I could call Cordless and Cordless, and they could sue him because I did drive by his truck.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe if I do get COVID, Cordless and Cordless.
He might have sneezed.
Out of him.
Right.
And yeah, what the heck? I mean, right. I don't know. I'm sure the bug is real, but you guys, they just really went. You know what? It was a chance for them to control, and it worked for a little bit.
Yes.
And it went.
Barney,
what's your prediction on?
Go ahead.
I'm thinking maybe another, frankly, just another week.
2 years.
No. Of how long you think before people just sort of en masse stop wearing masks? How long?
You know what, Julie? We tend to be kind of sheepish in this country, and I'm not even sure I'm ever going to get my chance to get in line with my club or my black rifle. We're just not what we used to be, so I don't know. But I think the heat, more than anything. Okay, jackass. Let's see how you like it when it's 98 degrees. And I wonder when we're going to find out. There's going to be illnesses from people wearing these masks.
Oh, sure.
Not washing them and not, you know, there's got to be. It's so nasty.
Well, oxygen flow, anyway, you know, if you're older, your oxygen intake isn't very good.
Exactly.
Put a mask over it, gets even worse.
Yeah.
They've got lots of cool
And then
things.
You've got bacteria.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Plenty of bacteria.
All day long in your
so you sneeze inside your thing, and then you just suck on that for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
And then, Julie, and you know what? We know, you know that we think you're beautiful, but even you have germs. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to, you know.
Well, here's saying. What happens in our family, and you know this happens in other family. So today we were there, and Chuck was going to go, so we were at the newspaper office, and he's like, do you have a mask? And I'm like, okay, it's a scarf I've been wearing, so I hand it to him, right? So now, you know, and then Rev wears it. I'm sure every family, it's like their pat. It's like using the same toothbrush over and over again.
Toilet paper.
Right? No, that's so disgusting.
Spread the cooties.
All right. Hey, Barney, thank you for calling.
Take care, Barney.
You guys, and see you, bye.
All right.
Okay, bye.
888-627-6008 is the number. 888-627-6008. You know, what do you think about all of this? How long do you think they're going to be able to con people into continuing to wear the masks that everyone knows is stupid?
How long have they conned the people of Cuba?
Well, Chuck, there you go.
How long have they conned the people of North Korea?
Well, they're not wearing stupid masks, though.
If they want them to, they would.
Well, you know, I'm going to be more optimistic. Because, again, I look around and you see, and here, particularly young people, that's what I just noticed.
How long did Jim Crow last? I mean, you know.
But so what do you think? Oh, yeah, okay. The BBC folks are saying the last of the year till November or December in my, oh, my God, no.
Yeah, and then there'll be a new cold season, and we'll get to do this whole thing again. It's back. Second wave, third
wave. But here's
the
thing. Polis, like I said, and that's what I kind of wonder, and I'll get your take on what do you think is going on with him. So he's now saying schools, I mean, there's pushback against the people who are saying, oh, schools are never going to reopen. It's going to be online meeting. He's saying, no, schools are going to reopen.
Well, it's Fauci. We can't open up the schools. Fauci doesn't care. As he said, I'm a physician. I'm a health expert. You know, I don't do economy. I don't do anything else. So if everybody never moves, then, you know, that'd be good for me. I mean, but to listen to that little fool is just
as Michael Tao said, a lot of death by Fauci going on.
Yeah,
but I think it was interesting. Polis was saying, no, it's not going to be all online learning, which I was saying as a parent is incredibly stupid. If you only have your kid in school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, well, you got to do something else with them on Tuesday and Thursday. Yeah, so you got to send them someplace else where they're going to get. So that's ridiculous. But he said some things that make kind of sense where, okay, maybe the teachers will move from classroom to classroom, then not all the kids, or maybe it'll be staggered.
The teachers will be virtual.
But what was I thought was very encouraging to me is the fact that he's like, okay, we're going to open up restaurants. No, everyone's going to go back to school. Why do you think he's done this turnaround, though?
You can just look at the, you know, for a while there, the Christian Whitmers and the governor of Oregon and Cuomo were the big heroes, and everybody was cheering them on, and everybody wanted to be like them. And then, you know, they got pushed back. They started getting bad PR. And they all said, no, I don't want to be them. You know, I don't want to be Kemp either, because he got mercilessly slaughtered, although he's been proven 100%, even by Trump, and he's been proven 100% right. So now what you want to do, if you're a smart boy or a girl, you're just going to, well, we'll open up this, we'll open up that. You want to seem like you're pulling the levers of things and allowing some things open and others just so everybody will be, quote unquote, safe. I mean, that's what Polis' game is playing.
And I think it's even more sinister than that.
No more sinister than that.
I predicted this. What they're really going to do is they're going to pivot. And I said this a couple weeks ago, that they're going to pivot, let things reopen. But they're going to push their pet initiatives. That people want the restaurants open. The average person out there, when you get right down to it, probably doesn't care very much about electronic signature gathering or not on ballots,
they
right?
They should.
I know they should, but they don't. The average person,
well, that's the problem.
They might want to go back to their gym, and maybe they don't want to wear a mask, but they're not that worried about on-mail balloting. This is what I think Polis is doing, is he's realizing he's kind of losing the battle there. So he is pivoting, and I guarantee, when we'll talk about what's behind his suddenly, by executive order, he changes the Colorado Constitution. Constitution, small institution, right? And says you don't need to have signature gatherers, you can gather signatures online. Oh, like there could be no problem with that. Oh. I think that the Democrats are now going to turn around and start using this to put, like I said, some of their pet projects to handle them through.
Well, like
and
medical
people
leave.
Aren't going to, people aren't going to worry that
family
much.
Family medical leave.
We got Iggy on line one. Hey, Iggy.
The comrade.
Yeah, comrade Iggy, thank you for calling.
Well, comrades, how's it going?
Good.
So basically, I call him Jared Cartman because he's acting like his younger cousin, Eric Cartman, off of South Park.
Oh.
Because he wants everybody's to respect his authority. But
right.
he doesn't have control over this. The state is basically has been opening up itself for the last 6 weeks, slowly, right. early, right?
Right.
And he is starting to realize that, but he's got advisors, you know, that are raising hell. And a lot of his supporters, especially in Boulder County, the ones that work from home that are enraged because people are walking around without masks on.
Right.
Like 10 yards away from them. So I think, and what Mr. Polis is finding himself, and it's something you alluded to while I was listening, is he's becoming irrelevant. He's up there talking and talking about this and this, and people are just doing what they're going to do. And part of the problem, his problem is, you know, his opponents, all of us,
yeah.
are usually spending our time busting our asses, making a living, and we don't have time to protest, and we don't have time to do all this other stuff. But hey, if you cut into our livelihoods and we're all of a sudden we've got time, we can go and protest. So,
well, the only thing I'm hoping is that all these small businesses, all the people who've gotten screwed over by Tri-County Health and by all the others are kind of going, wait a minute, why am I a Democrat?
Right.
I'm a Democrat.
Or maybe
why?
I'm an independent, but I'm not voting to put these people back in office.
I'm one of these people, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going to happen. I travel around the state, or at least the northern part of the state, and I notice how things are going. I mean, hell, there's restaurants that have been opening up for the last couple of weeks in Grand Junction.
Right. Well, same thing in Greeley.
I was in there last week, and there was at least 20 of them open.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know, Mickey, you raise a good point. Yeah, that if you're polis, it's like people were just doing it. And, you know, executive
right.
order, who cares? So, I think hopefully people will learn.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Greeley's open, has a couple of restaurants. They even snuck a restaurant in Erie was open on Mother's
Ooh,
Day.
All right.
Well, don't say its name, though. We don't want them to go down there. That's good to know. Okay, Iggy, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Take care, Iggy.
Thank you.
Okay,
right.
Bye-bye.
888-627-6008. 888-627-6008.
And I want to talk a second about Synergenics. It's about our Synergenics time. This is a wonderful program, which is age management. You have a biological age and you have a calendar age, and you don't want your biological age to be way above your calendar age. You want it below it. And there's a way to do that. There's a way to do it with vitamins and hormones and diets and exercise and getting all the things, getting your heart cleared out, getting the plaque from your things. And you need to go in a program to do that. You got to find out what parts of your body are just doing just Jim Dandy and other parts that may need a little help. Well, that's where Julie McCallum comes. She has a very personalized program. It's been scientifically gone through across the country, and it's amazing. And Peter Boyles will tell you it's amazing, and I can tell you it's amazing. It's a lifesaver, and you'll be glad you did. So go to the number. It's 720-387-3681. Ask for Julie herself. That's 720-387-3681. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent you. Be glad you did.
That's right. Synergenics there. And Tim Neville is texting. We're going back to Polis's executive. I think this is what Tim means. The executive order. And like I was saying, they're pivoting now.
Pivoting.
They're giving up. They're like, okay, well, we're opening the economy. All you stupid
sure
people. But we're going to push through our things. And he said, start with Carol Hedges's Initiative 271 and their push for a graduated state income tax.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That'd be a good idea. That's part of that pro-business thing they got going
right.
there.
Well, and then on top of that, look what else they're doing is, you know, there was a story in the Colorado Sun today. Okay, so just say about this. So the governor ordered all businesses, for the most part, to shut down, right? As a result, then everybody filed for unemployment. So as a result of that, now the state's unemployment fund is running out. So what is Polis's suggestion? They want to raise the tax on businesses, the unemployment, to put money back on the unemployment.
And including
fund.
All those people who didn't let anybody go, like us.
Yeah.
And so we'll get it really jammed up because we didn't fire anybody.
So it's like, wait, let me say about this rate. You ordered me to lay people off. So they then went on unemployment.
Right.
And now you're going to charge me more because those people went on unemployment if I can even reopen. That's what they're going to do. And we'll get into it in a second, too. The other thing I think that Polis wants to do is, so we got the all-mail ballot, which we have here in Colorado, but I think they're going to push to loosen the rules there. And again, just
electronic voting.
And yeah, exactly. And then they're going to have, if you can do, because it's just a step. Yep. If you can do electronic signature gathering for petitions, why can't you do electronic voting, right? Uh-huh. And that's what they want to do. And I was thinking to myself, now, why would Polis want to do that? And I'm thinking to myself, well, paid family leave, because at the same time, interestingly, Colorado Concern, which is a bunch of businesses, and the person representing them is with the Brownstein Law Firm, is now suing Polis, saying you can't do that.
Norm is part of Colorado Concern. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's
well, what do you think is going on with that?
Well, you know, I'm sure all the people, the legislators, saying, you know, great, we won't do it in the session. Let's just get it out, but we got to get signatures.
The paid family leave.
Yeah, paid family leave. And so it's great. I'll allow them to do it electronically. It's not like he's going, hey, let's get that abortion thing there. Let's get that
right.
Going. Yeah. No.
No. So well, I think it's even more insidious than that, too.
It's never more insidious. They're cynical than
no, I. No. Yeah. Really. I think it's also just a step to, hey, if we can gather signatures electronically, look how easy that was.
Right.
Why can't we just go ahead
do away with stupid anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. We're just going to tell you who to vote for. So I see we've got folks on Zoom. Anybody on Zoom wants to chime in? All you got to do is just unmute yourself and just go ahead and say, hey, I'm chiming in. That's right. And the phone number 888-627-6008. I think, though, that's where Polis is going. I think he is a smart man, and he realized that the Reopen Colorado people, that's like us, were winning, right? People were just reopening, right? And so he said, okay, forget that. Let's just push all mail balloting. Let's just push electronic balloting. Let's just ignore the Constitution and go ahead and say we can gather signatures for petitions, not the due date too late one, of course, but the other ones. Right. Now, what do you think is going to happen with Colorado Concern? I mean, it's interesting that they're suing him. Will they strike some kind of Brownstein like legal?
No, they don't want the paid family leave from getting on the ballot, so that no, they're not gonna.
Who do you think is gonna win though?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's all Democrats. It's a fight among Colorado Concern, maybe businesses, but they're Democratic businesses.
Yeah.
You know, they're Rhino Republicans and Democrats. So, you know, who knows? I mean, I think the courts are all Democrat bureaucrats. So
we're screwed is what you're saying.
Either way, you're screwed.
And in the meantime, they're going to raise your unemployment tax rate. Hey, so we have Karen Cataline with us. Yeah. She's our friend. Hello, Karen, our friend, our colleague, host of Spouting Off on Friday afternoons and been real involved in the Reopen Colorado movement. Hey, Karen, thank you for chiming in.
Well, thank you. And thank you for filling in for me on Friday.
Sure. Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun, and you got repeated on K-Star Radio Network on Saturday and Sunday. And if you want a neato place, all your listeners, a place to go that feels almost normal, go to South Dakota.
That's right. You were. Ooh, so tell us, what was it like?
Ooh. It was wonderful. Half the casinos were open, and they were opening. There's still people with masks, but other than masks, it feels almost normal. It feels like freedom. That is passing us by. And it was a wonderful time. It was only 5 hours drive. And I have a thing for Crazy Horse.
Oh, there you go.
I saw him 15 years ago. I think I saw his eye. And now they finished his face. So I called, or I wanted to chime in about the fact that I was at the rally yesterday, and it was fabulous. It was a lot of fun to see all those motorcycles there and all kinds of people who love liberty. And then after that, I went to Sprouts in University Hills, one of my favorite stores. And I'd gone there in the morning to Greeley and kind of had a chat with the manager because there was something on the door that said, there's an ordinance that you must wear a mask. And I reminded him that there is no such ordinance in Weld County and that is a false piece of paper and they need to take it off. So then I went to Sprouts really just to check out what would happen to me.
Right.
And I refused to wear a mask. There were three other people not wearing masks.
Yay.
I wandered the store, and then an assistant manager came up to me and asked me to leave.
Okay.
I showed a card that I have with me that says that I'm exempt from wearing a mask, and due to HIPAA restrictions, I don't have to tell you why.
Well, that's clever.
Yeah.
That's clever.
No, it didn't work. He said, I don't care. That's our policy, and we will not check you out at the register. And he did not care at all. And, of course, I got a little obstinate because I was appalled at what's happening to my country. And I said, So if they told you to encourage people to jump off a bridge, would you do right. that too? Anyway, I called King Soopers across the street, and they said, well, we're supposed to, you know, there is an ordinance, but we are not going to refuse to check you out if you refuse to wear a mask. So as you can see, I just thought I'd report that to you.
Don't go to Sprouts. Go to King Soopers.
Well, Super. No, wait, I'm going to, Karen, let me share my experiences.
Well, I wouldn't have gone there anyway under those circumstances, and I was, yes.
But and it kind of depends on where you are. For instance, you know, because that Denver does have the ordinance, right? Here in Westminster, where, by the way, we have had zero coronavirus deaths, according to the city of Westminster themselves, in all of Adams County where we live, there have only been 52, almost all of them at nursing homes. So I went into the Sprouts here in Westminster, right? And they yeah. didn't have that sign, and they weren't requiring people to wear masks. And the same thing, but I think you hit a point. If you're a business, it's so screwy, you don't know what to do. Yeah. And what, you're supposed to get in a fight with your customer over something we all know is stupid, right? I got a feeling that, and you know, I've said before, my daughter and her boyfriend, who are not politically active and certainly not conservative politically active, are refusing to wear masks. They said if they go someplace and they said you have to wear a mask, they say we're going to go to another.
We love them. We love them. Right. Yeah. Among the many things I love about you guys is that you think down the road a piece and you look at motive, which a lot of people simply don't do.
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? Why are they doing an about face? And what's the motive? And the motive, as I see it, if I look for at the very big picture, and I see that the small, here's another thing, an op-ed that is relevant to this. Among the freedom things I saw in South Dakota were these unique and absolutely one-of-a-kind stores, mom-and-pop stores with the most unusual decor you'd never see anywhere at all because they're as unique as the individuals who own them.
Right.
It seems to me that small businesses and mom-and-pop stores are on the front lines and getting the brunt of it because along with collectivizing people and turning us into shit all black and white and gray, they are collectivizing businesses because
that's a very good
businesses. Yeah. Big businesses will do business with the government and small businesses, they don't care and they are independent and free. So what do you got? What is really going on here?
That's
what you got
point,
here
Karen.
Is the government controlling the means of production. What does that sound like to you?
That sounds, no, you raise a really good point because if you do look around, the corporations, because from their point of view, I'm sure it's a liability thing and there are all kinds of other
Are you kidding me? The big corporate, the Targets, the Home Depots, a lot of these other ones are making a fortune.
Yeah, Amazon. Not only making a fortune, but there's kickbacks and there's enormous lobbyists.
Sure. Right.
And there is and they can control, just like they try to control temporarily the health insurance companies on the way to putting them out of business and taking
right.
And you have our socialists.
And they don't care, I guess, and you're right, the giant corporations, they're happy to say, sure, we'll have some annoyed customers and we'll do your mask thing if we get this, this, and this. I hadn't thought about it, but that's a good point.
Because I just got to add, just to add icing on the cake, remember it was the leftists who hated Walmart and they wanted to save mom and pop businesses.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now they've done an out about face like everything else. And when you look at that, that's again why I love talking to you guys, because there's just a lot of people that look at these issues in a vacuum and they don't see the relevance of one issue to another. And you do.
Right.
So, well, the Walmart protesters were, none of them were pro small business. It was all unionization. They were fine with Walmart. They just wanted to get unionized so they get control. I mean, that was their plug.
Here's how I used to cover when I was at Fox 31 and before that at Channel 7. Anytime a Walmart was going to go into a city, right, there'd be all these protests. And whether it was in Thornton, it was all these citizens. And after a while, I started noticing, wait, these are all the same people. Are you guys just moving from city to city? And then you realize, no, these are all union people. And the union would organize people to show up because Walmart isn't unionized. So everything's a con and a scam. Except for your show and our show, where you get the truth straight up and you get stuff straight.
Yeah, you do. All right. By the way, great haircut, Julie.
That's my lady. She got a little short. We both kind of went crazy. I'm like, ooh. I said, cut it all off. And she did. I'm like, but she was thrilled. But you know what? One other thing, and then I'll let you go. But you know what, though, bothered me is she was terrified of all the rules and the regulations.
All the snitches coming in.
That snitches would come in. Because she's like, look, you can't cut my hair with a mask, mm-hmm. right? And so she's like, I mean, and to me, it's like you have small business owners that are the backbone of this country that employ most of the people in this country do not see the government right now as somebody who is helping them. They see the government as the enemy and somebody to be afraid of. And I think that is a situation that can't
last. Well, I came by the statistic. It used to be 40 years ago, 1 in 6 people were under a license of some sort by the government. You couldn't do what you're doing without a license for the government. Now it's 65%.
Now we know why.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now we know why, because it's all about control
right.
and surveillance and manipulation. And I guess it's good news that people are beginning to see that the government is not their friend. Let's just hope that we're watching the second half of the Gandhi movie tonight. So
all right.
If you want to know how to do civil disobedience, it's free on whatever it is.
Just put it in. Kennedy.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Thank
good
you.
To talk to you.
Karen
good to
Cataly, talk to you. Check her out, Spouting Off. Go to BBS Radio, Spouting Off, Fridays from noon to 1.
And now let's go to Father Hugh, who's online, too. Hey, Father Hugh.
Hello. And I'm doing a library card punch.
Okay.
There's so much going on that it's like, you know, where do we start?
Yeah. Exactly.
First, this is the ulterior motive. Chuck, you remember when you wrote an unidentified editor wrote the piece on philosopher kings for the Cherry Creek Chronicle?
Which one?
On Judge Made Up the
Sure,
Law.
Sure, I remember. Okay.
Somehow I mislaid that, and I'd like to get a couple of back issues. Can I do that?
Sure.
Yes.
You betcha.
You're talking to the people who do that. So
talking to the
the people.
All right. Oh, okay, people. I will call the Chronicle, and I'll be specific as always. The particular judge in question did a stellar performance on me, in the teeth of a Supreme Court opinion from Ruth Bader Ginsburg that was only 2 years old, and just blew by it. Just, you know, we know it says that, but it doesn't apply to you.
Wow, there you go.
And you applied it to the Lansdorp or whatever, the candidacy, where he went to Judge Bremer, that he worked his way up through the state system, and they said, I'm sorry, but your solicitors have to be residents of the state of Colorado, so you're out of luck.
Wow.
And so he went to federal court, got Judge Bremer, and Judge Bremer said, yeah, you know, the statute, I don't like the way it reads.
Yeah, you don't even have to do that. I mean, I kind of keep on telling Julie, and she says, well, what's the law on this matter? Yeah. I said, the law is whatever you want it to mean. I mean, you can say, okay, I'm going to go by the spirit of the law. And if that gets you the wrong result, you go, I need to go by the technical language of the law. I'm going to look at how it reads. And, you know, you can come up with it's kind of like a cue ball in pool. You can put it, you know, once you got a good player, you can put it anywhere on the pool on table he wants to after hitting one in, you know. And that's same. Judges can go wherever they want to go.
Look at Emmett Sullivan.
Yeah.
That precisely, you read my mind. I mean, you know, and one of the things that has contributed, I'm sorry, I'll be specific. Rob Nadelson appeared on Peter sometime.
Oh, good, he's wonderful, yeah. He's wonderful.
At the end, Peter said, how you doing? I mean, you know, overall. And they had talked about how therapeutic it was to go to the mountains. Mm-hmm. And Nadelson said, I'm fraying, meaning basically I'm getting worn down. And when I look at the mess that they made of the virus and the Judge Sullivan and that sort of thing, and the general.
Well, since we've got you on the line, Hugh, I want to do a little rant, and I'll do it with you about Sullivan. So I couldn't quite figure Sullivan out, right?
Well, let's back up to that, folks, what we're talking about. We're talking about okay. Judge Sullivan, who is a judge in the Michael Flynn case. The Department of Justice, thanks to Sidney Powell's great mm-hmm. work, determines everything was corrupt. They throw the whole thing out. And Judge Sullivan says, not so fast. You can't throw it out. So he gets his friend, Judge, who already wrote an editorial saying that Flynn should not have the charges, charges shouldn't be dropped, to argue for it. So the judge is just making it up, and he's appointing his own prosecutor in the case.
Basically. But I was trying to figure out, because he'd written, you know, Sidney Powell was so thrilled by him when he did the Senator Stevens case, and he went after the prosecutors. You go, how can it be the same one? And I finally figured out, Sullivan is mad not that prosecutors abuse defendants. I mean, he doesn't really give a damn about that. It's that judges generally in the last 20 years have lost all their power. I mean, at one time, you know, they could give out any sentence they wanted to up to the maximum, and then they could go beyond that by making it consecutive sentences instead of concurrent. But in the last 20 years, prosecutors have taken over the law.
With plea bargains, basically.
Well, plea bargains, what is called PDAs, preferred deferred prosecution agreements.
Yeah.
Those drive him nuts. In fact, he was one of three judges who said the courts ought to be able to look at how prosecutors agree to terms. One of them was Gleason, one was himself, and there's another judge, Judge Leon. Leon and Gleason got overturned by their respective appellate courts. Sullivan had been tricky because he allowed them to plead amicus curiae. In the end, he said, I won't do it, even though I could. And then he wrote a huge article about it. So what he's going to do is write this law review type opinion saying, I should be able to look at any guilty plea or not guilty plea. I should be able to enforce any plea or not enforce any plea. But I won't do it because so it can't be appealed, right? I won't be appealed. But he goes, but I still hate Flynn. So I'll get Flynn on changing his plea from guilty to innocent and say
this is your
perjury.
Prediction of what's going to happen.
Yeah, and then give him 6 months in jail.
What do you make of that whole mess, Hugh?
Well, I'm in awe of the sophistication of the raconteur. I'll stick to some small things. As to the question of the amicus curiae from Judge Gleason or whatever, the federal rules allow that only in a civil case, not in a criminal case. For judge, you might want to read the criminal rules.
But that's the key to that one. It's a phrase they love, having clerked for judges and stuff. The court's inherent authority is to do
whatever you want.
Whatever you want. So it's the mere fact that it doesn't provide for it.
As you well know. But you know, now we'll go to 50,000 feet for Hugh. To me, it's part of what I've watched over the past, and putting aside Judge Brimmer, over the past 20 or 30 years or 50 years of the degradation of the rule of law. Yeah. Simple. I mean, I took went to law school, good little boy, did my studying, and I believed in that stuff. And the answer is it's all gone. And you get someone like, and of course, I just trust Sullivan. Sullivan is the guy who railed at the counsel in the Stevens case, but also in the Arthur Anderson case, for withholding exculpatory evidence. Oh, yeah. So suddenly, in this case, it doesn't matter anymore.
He just hates prosecutors. He thinks prosecutors are taking away his authority. And they're right. I mean, prosecutors have, you know, with minimum sentencing, with all kinds of stuff, we've given enormous power to prosecutors in derogation of defendants, but nobody gives a damn about defendants. With judges.
I understand what you're saying in the role of the Justice Department as prosecutor, but... Right. And so he may view them as the enemy. The other part is it's a simple little thing called the case and controversy rule. But we'll see. It's part of the, I suspect the bottom line is he wanted to protect, he wants to protect his boyfriend, Obama.
Yes, yes. I think in the end,
we know
right.
That that's all about what that's all about. And, you know, and just by way of explanation, you know, I marched with Martin Luther King. My mother worked for 35 years in Roxbury helping black people out. I don't have anything, but it's clear that Judge Sullivan has this thing. And yeah. It may be something for one of the brothers, meaning Obama.
Well, he got his BA and his JD at Howard University, which is in Washington. That is is almost a segregated school. It's almost
all black. Now, I'll move just off slightly off to the side because, you know, I didn't know where he had gone, but I had thought, thankfully, he didn't go to the H place. You know,
no, didn't go to the H place. No.
And of course, as you probably may or may not know,
he did go to the H place. It just happens to be Howard instead of Harvard.
Howard, not Harvard. And then so it turns out that we're running a trifecta from Harvard. We got Obama from Harvard Law, and we got Adam Schiff from
Harvard Law. Yeah.
Man who fakes documents. And then we got Amy Berman Jackson.
Oh, is she a Harvarder too? Good. Oh, excellent.
Oh. No, it's just, I'm sorry, Julie, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's Harvard is going to, and then didn't Harvard actually, they took all that money for the, after that, because of the economy closing down, and then it realized they had like $1 billion fund, and they had
to
give it back.
It's not exactly that they're starving. As a matter of fact, a piece of trivia, you know, Harvard these days, it's tuition free for everybody in the college. They made an announcement to out of the endowment. I mean, the endowment is vast.
Yeah.
Whatever. And a good to hear Karen, because Karen has been calling in to Matt Dunn to sort of.
Oh, that's right. They've been kind of getting into it. Hey, Hugh, listen, we got.
And that's good. And anyway, I didn't mean to wander around. I really
that's
wanted
right.
to, good to talk to you. Good to talk
lots
to you.
No wandering, though. You made good points. Hugh, thank you for calling in. It's good to hear from you.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 888-627-6008 is the number. 888-627-6008. You know, one thing I want to touch on that Hugh said, where he talked about it's a disintegration of the rule of law. Take a look at what we have happening. So we have going on here in Colorado. So they release a guy from prison early because of coronavirus, right? And then he wanders, and now he's accused of murdering somebody. And somehow that's all okay.
Death
and yet Lauren Boebert, who opens her business, right, had a hearing today, which then they continued about could she reopen or not. But the health department there said, if you reopen your restaurant, we're going to consider that contempt of court, right, and we're going to put you in jail.
Right.
So what is going on? Talk about the rule of law disintegrating. You're having murderers released from prison so they don't get coronavirus, right, which everybody, which is outrageous in the first place. But you've got a restaurant owner simply trying to open her business, who, if she breaks some bureaucrat rule that everyone knows is stupid, then they're going to put her in jail.
Right,
and you bet they wouldn't release her, right? She's probably not going to fall under the special cases analysis that gets killers released from jail. Only, you know, the only people we're going to jail are the actual citizens. So talk about how broken things are. And I think it does tie back, Chuck, to the General Flynn case, in that things are terribly broken when you have, number one, let's not even get into the fact that you've got the Justice Department and the FBI and the CIA all wrongfully investigating and making stuff up about Flynn. Don't even go there. But you have the Justice Department saying, okay, we're going to drop the case. And the judge says, no, you're not. And there's nothing Flynn can do about it, really.
There is. I mean, that's interesting.
But not immediately. I mean,
well,
it's
yeah,
not
there,
like,
there is something to do immediately, because that Fokker case, beautifully named, did say is the right remedy, a writ of mandamus, that said yes in extraordinary circumstances. So it's clear that Sidney Powell and maybe the Justice Department could file for.
But what I mean, though, is, but he's still got to deal with it, right? It's not he could just say, and in the meantime, too, we had the government just come around and tell us all on like Thursday or Friday, oh, by the way, none of you can go to work on Monday. Your businesses are closed.
Right.
Yeah, we don't care that you've got bills to pay. We don't care that you've got a bunch of inventory sitting there.
Don't you love
and they
it?
Can
that,
just do
you
that
you can love that POLIS can kind of go, those requirements you have to do. Real signatures? I don't like that. That's bullshit. No, do it right now. Now that I'm in control of everything, and I want that other initiative on family leave, exit.
And it does set a dangerous precedent. Well, set a dangerous precedent. That's putting it. What it does is, this is government. Both, you have the judicial branch just saying, I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't care. We've got this bizarre, and Karen has talked about this kind of thing, where psychologically things are all screwed up, where people are like, you know what? The reality is, it's not, it's your reality, right? It's your feelings.
Your truth.
If it's my truth as Judge Sullivan that I hate Flynn and I want to get him, I can. And there used to be, I thought, some guidelines where judges would be like, ah, man, I better not do that. But not anymore. Mm-hmm. There was a time, I think, when a government would have said, we can't just close everybody's business and send everybody into bankruptcy. And again, and then when they go back to business, charge them more.
At least when they used to do it, it was doing wars. I mean, at least we took all the Japanese Americans in California and shipped them to Colorado for internment camps. It was the middle of a war. Or Wilson decided that you really didn't have any right to free speech and started jailing anybody he wanted to. Or Lincoln getting rid of the habeas corpus. So at least it was times of war. Now we're kind of, well, you know, if a flu breaks out, we ought to be able to do whatever we want to.
You get the governor of California saying it's going to last forever. And let's go back just, and you know.
Well, I'm not sure. Did Will want to talk? I saw he's putting up the audio, but I don't know if he did or not. Oh,
Will, if you want to talk, go ahead and chime in. Or not. Sometimes people are like, no, I didn't want to.
No, leave me alone, you bastard. I just trying to listen.
888-627-6008 is the number. And let's take a look at some of the other revelations from last week. So initially we had the guy who, Ferguson, who came up with this whole model that told us all, everyone's going to die, millions of
2 million people.
Yeah, in the United States alone. Now it's come to find out that, number one, he didn't even believe it himself, because he's leaving his own quarantine to go have an affair with a mistress, right? So
he's cheating on his wife with another husband's wife, and so, you know, they don't. You're not big into the rules right then anyway. So
he clearly wasn't that worried. Now it appears that other reputable institutions have tried to replicate his research. This reminds you of climate change a little bit, I got to say. And they said the code that he was using to make garbage. The model is garbage. We can't.
It's not even garbage in, garbage out. No, the program itself is garbage.
Right. It was garbage. And then you start throwing garbage in, garbage out. And you've got all of this stuff. I mean, and then just common sense and reality. Like we were saying, okay, if it's a pandemic, I know two people who know people who had coronavirus. You would think if it's a pandemic, you would know like all kinds of people, right?
Right, right.
And the good news is that's because it's not. Millions of people are not dying, right? In Colorado, roughly 878 people, almost all of them.
And I bet you
homes.
If you look closer than
that's just the ones who've complained about it. So this whole thing was, you know, I don't want to use the word hoax.
It wasn't a hoax. I mean, I think, you know, originally morbidity rates were high, 4 to 7%, which would be, and you don't want another Spanish influenza. But once you decide, no, it's not very deadly, certainly not for young and healthy people, we've decided to lock down all the young and healthy people.
And keep them locked down.
Keep them locked down. And then we put the infected people in nursing homes so they can all die. I mean, they killed. Death by Fauci is a huge number.
Well, and that's even go to, as Michael Towers pointed out. And we've got, and they shut down. Facebook takes off. You know, for instance, I've tried to boost some of our Facebook posts where we talk about reopening. If you use the word reopen now, Facebook won't boost your post because it says it's violating their community standards. Why would Facebook be opposed to reopening the economy? You got to ask yourself that too. I mean, what is Mark Zuckerberg, who's a bazillionaire? I mean, he could care less, right? All of his employees could work from home. And he just shut everything down. But again, the models were fake. The closing down of the hospitals was fake. The moving of the goalposts. And the whole concept of social distancing and wearing masks, like Michael Tau points out, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
If you look at the CDC, nowhere does it say that's an effective measure to stop the spread of
flu. Well, they told you, at first they told you, we don't have enough masks. They're only professionals. And moreover, it wouldn't do you any good anyway. And then it was, unless you put a mask on, you're killing all of us. I mean, you're like, wow, there's a 180. Well, and now they're back, some going, well, actually, it won't help you anyway.
Well, and then the virtue signal. I was driving down the highway the other day.
We ought to exterminate the virtue signals.
Oh, that's what I say. It was a truck, and it was a it was like a cable company. I think, I don't remember which one, but the truck said, so the social distancing is like 6 feet, right?
Right.
And so the truck, you know, that's what we should say, stay 6 feet apart. And then the truck had on its side, keep in mind, social distancing, stay back 10 feet. Well, the first thing I think to myself is, number one, I'm in a car, so I'm not going to. And then I'm like, you're a cable guy. How many people come wandering up to cable guys parked in the street, right? Like, okay, like they've got hordes of people. Back off, stand back, stand back. Well, man, it was just stupid virtue signaling on the part of that company, right? It's not as if they really cared about their cable guys, they wouldn't be sending them into people's houses, really, right? And say, no, you have to stand back 10 feet. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you got to give us your card 10 feet away.
Well, and again, like they need to put that on the car as if this is something the poor cable guy is dealing with constantly. Like I said, with all these people constantly approaching his truck and he's saying, hey, I'm sorry, everybody, you have to stand back. You can't approach my truck. So I go back to my original thing. There are people who are just sheeple, right?
Sheeple.
Who, like I said, would swallow the Tide Pod if the cool kids told them. You got the other people who are just the bossy, virtue signaling people, and they virtue
signal. Correct your grammar. You can't end with a proposition.
Those are the people who drive 55 in the fast lane just so no one else can pass them because that's the rule. I mean, you know, those.
And a lot of those going to and from Boulder.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then you have the people, and this is the bulk of the people, with the ideological, philosophical agenda reasons, like Jared Polis. Right. And those are the people who they use the other people, willingly or unwillingly. But I've just been so glad. And really, I think
the Karen Kathleen, there were out there fighting good for the
Patrick
Nevels.
All of
the
those
Tigers fighting
Tigers
good fight.
There too. That's going to do it for us today. I think Wednesday we're going to try to get Mark Poff on because I'm going to talk to him about some of the school stuff reopening. Right. Because
What is it going to be like in the fall? I mean, is it going to be one of these things where every other day they're going to, it's a virtual day. No, not a virtual day.
No, that doesn't work because then you're going to put your kid in daycare, right? So then they're going to, so that's ridiculous. We're going to talk to him. You know, I want to get some legislators on and some lawmakers and talk about what is
Polis. Do we have lawmakers anymore? Because they can't make any laws.
They can't go back to the Capitol.
We call them legislators.
You would think if you could go to a restaurant, the legislators could go back to the state legislature, but Democrats will say no. But on some of the things I think we need to be on guard against because they're going to reopen, and I promise you this, they've got other stuff up their sleeves. They're going to pivot to do some other things.
Ugly, awful things.
And I think they're going to count on, everybody's going to be so relieved that they can just go to the park and a restaurant that they will be like, well, I don't care what that signature gathering thing means. So we're going to talk about that too. To remind folks, go to chuckandjulie.com to catch this show, all the podcasts. Please go ahead and click on the YouTube thing and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, check out ColoradoCitizenPress.com and
Synergenics. Get yourself in for the rebound wave.
I want to say thanks to all the folks who listened and called in. Thanks to the folks at BBS. And we'll see you Wednesday.